You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I am delighted to be here, and I'm delighted that you are here. Those of you joining us for the very first time tonight, a special welcome. I'm delighted you're here as well. And by the way, if you are brand new to the show, you don't know this, but you need to know that we have a free weekly newsletter that we send out. It's an e-zine. We send it out in the email. And you can subscribe. It takes about 10 seconds. It's totally free, no strings attached. You can unsubscribe anytime you decide to do so. And you do that by going over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and you'll see where. It's you can't miss. If you miss it, you probably, your eyesight would be way too bad to read it anyway. Big red letters, you can't miss it. And for everybody, we've redesigned the site just a little bit. Not anything major, but we've redesigned it just a little bit to organize things a little better and make it look a little better and easier for you to navigate, all right? So you might want to take a look at that and see what you think about it. Also, don't forget, we've got those free podcasts. One of the shows each week is selected, and we turn it into a free podcast. So you can download it. You can load it onto your iPod or whatever other device you may be using to listen to podcasts. You can download it and store it in your computer and just have it to listen to on your computer. And they're free. One each week. And the link is on my website. So be sure you take a look at that, all right? And tell your friends all about that. Tell them to go get them a big bunch of those podcasts as well, okay? We are going to be talking tonight with our guests from Friday night. Now, our guests from Friday night were William Warrick and Terrell Copeland. I had some real technical difficulties that ate up the first half of the show Friday night. I apologize for that. We spent a good deal of time over the weekend getting that fixed. And so we are flying level tonight. Everything's okay. And but I invited them to be back with me because I want us to be able to fully discuss with them this very amazing UFO video that Terrell shot and that William Warrick was able to zoom in on and enhance a little bit and make it clearer for us to see what is in fact in the video, and it's a pretty amazing thing. The link to that video is on my website. It's right beside the photograph of Bill Warrick. So if you haven't taken a look at it, click that link, take a look at that video, and you'll have time to do that during the upcoming break. We'll be going to break here in just a few seconds, and when we do, that'll be a good time for you to take a look at that video, all right? Takes just a few seconds. We will be back with William Warwick and with Terrell Copeland right after this. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to alienseekernews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel AllStar with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments, so click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website, or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. I'll be there in the morning light. My guest this evening is William Warwick and also Terrell Copeland. William Warwick has been with us. Well, actually, both of them have been with us before, sort of. We sort of had both of them on Friday night in a very abbreviated version of the show. But now that we've got our technical issues worked out, they are back with us again. William Warwick has been researching and investigating UFOs for over a decade. He's written a couple of books, one that we have talked about here on this show, Phoenix Rising, and that you're probably familiar with. And he has been very much involved in disseminating information as well as video evidence, and that's what we're going to be dealing with here tonight. William, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Kevin, good to be back. Terrell is, you know, Terrell, I don't really know the proper way to say this. Every time I do it, I get into trouble with Marines. My dad was a Marine. And let's see, there's no such thing as an ex-Marine, is that right?
Right, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So formerly on active duty with the U.S. Marine Corps, Terrell Copeland, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Terrell, let me begin with you and ask you, when you were on active duty with the U.S. Marine Corps, tell us a little bit about where you were and what sort of job you did with the Marine Corps.
Well, I joined in 1999, was in a delayed entry program for a year while I was still in high school. And as soon as I graduated in 2000, during that summer, I went in July. Unfortunately, I didn't stay in as long as I hoped. You know, I always wanted to be a career soldier, Marine. My MOS was machine gunner, 0331, and security forces, which is an 8152, basically high-profile security guard. Did a lot of weapons training. Basically just a grunt, that's all. A lot of guns and a lot of ammo. They tell you to teach you how to shoot and stuff like that. I stayed mostly on the East Coast, Norfolk, Chesapeake, Virginia, Yorktown, Virginia. After 9/11 happened, I was basically stationed over here permanently. I was set out to go to Rota, Spain, shortly before the Iraq War began, but I was discharged in 2002 for medical purposes. So that's pretty much my whole career in a nutshell.
Well, if you ever get a chance to go and see Rota, Spain, you should do that. It is an impressive place, I can tell you. A very impressive place.
Absolutely. I've heard it's great.
It is. Absolutely. And you'll be very close, by the way. Rota, you'll be close to Barcelona. Not far from Toledo. If you come on down the coast, you'll hit Malaga. And I was in Malaga for quite some time. A long time ago. But beautiful, beautiful part of the world. And really great people, too. All right, let me ask you this. Now, when you were on duty with the Marine Corps, did you have any UFO sightings then?
I did, actually. Ironically enough, back then, I didn't have the mindset. I didn't have an interest in UFOs or anything like that, so I knew what I saw was abnormal, but it didn't register with me at the time. This particular base was in a location, very secluded location, in the middle of a swamp. And one night, it was in the winter of 2000, sometime in January or February of 2001. And this object, it was late at night, it was like 3 in the morning, I went to the restroom and I'm headed back to my bunk and I see this strange glow across the street. There was this ranch across the street, just one house by itself, and the family of this ranch had acres and acres of land out there, you know, horses, cattle and whatnot. And this strange glow, like this soft glow, was just laminating the field across the street, sort of a lime or greenish glow. And I was thinking to myself, it's probably a helicopter. You know, we don't have a helipad here on the base, but I'm guessing it's a helicopter. I couldn't see where the source of the light was at the time, and this light was just like sweeping over the field as if it was searching for something. And it, no sound, no helicopter rotor could be heard or jet engine, and this light or this glow started to cross the street. And once it got behind the barracks where I was located, I could see through the window that it was your basic saucer. It was a saucer-shaped object, maybe 35, 40 feet in diameter. I couldn't make out any details specifically because it was very dark, but you could see the outline of what could have been a saucer or a bowl-shaped object, and underneath was this glow. And, you know, at the time, I really didn't say, hey, that's an alien spaceship. I was just like, wow, this is, wow, what is that? And I had the opportunity to go to the quarterdeck, which is the front desk of the barracks where the guards are located. But I didn't do that. It was no way. I wasn't going to go up there and say, oh, my God, it's a flying saucer behind the barracks. And it just disappeared behind a tree line. No sound. It was treetop level, so maybe 30, 35 feet. And it just vanished, you know. And very, very close encounter. This thing was right behind the barracks.
How high was it? Approximately what was its altitude?
I want to say treetop level, about 35 feet.
All right. Now, the base that you were at is, now I don't want you to say anything you're not supposed to say.
Right.
But the base that you were at was not the normal run-of-the-mill base, was it?
No. And looking back on it, I see how bizarre it was. And, you know, at the time, I'm just, you know, I'm a Marine, I follow orders, I do what I'm supposed to do. But this base was very peculiar because the Marines and the Navy did security on the base, but there was nothing on the base to secure it, from my knowledge. The only thing there, we did our weapons training there, the Marines. There was approximately three barracks, I believe, one for the Navy, one for the Marine Corps. I think it was one that the Navy and the Coast Guard Reserve shared. There was an admin building for the Marine Corps where they did paperwork. And it was this dome structure that was massive, I mean, very large. I estimate maybe 200 foot high. It was a white dome, and it had a fence that was equal in its height, about 200 feet high, out in the middle of nowhere. And the strange thing about it, you never saw any vehicles going to or from this place. And we would always ask, you know, our commanders kind of on the sly, or, you know, the NCOs, hey, what's that place? You know what that is? No, you know. You would never get an answer like, you know, it's classified. I don't think they knew. They were just like us. You know, I don't know what that is. And there are also small satellites on the base, kind of like you see Arecibo, the little satellites that are out in the fields and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
A satellite dish?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Satellite dish. I'd estimate maybe 50 or 60 satellites out in the field, pretty close, a couple yards away from the dome structure.
Okay, now let me ask you about this UFO again.
Right.
From your observation of it, it did not appear that it landed anywhere on the base.
I can't say for sure. It was in a steady altitude. It didn't appear to be landing. I don't know because I was inside. But it was headed in the direction of the open field where the dome structure was. So.
And then from where you were observing it,
right.
It went out of sight over, you said, over a tree line. So I would assume...
Right.
That the tree line was between you and the dome.
It would be more parallel to the dome. The dome was where the barracks was located. The dome was maybe a half a mile in the opposite direction. The tree line, it was parallel to. It's a street. The base is perpendicular to a street, or I should say, parallel to a street. But you have the tree line. That kind of cuts across the street and goes parallel to the base. And the UFO was kind of in front of the tree line and maybe maybe it lifted its altitude a little bit, but it went over that tree line somehow. But it continued in an eastern direction towards the open field.
All right, now let's come forward. That's an amazing account in itself. But let's come forward. I think it was this video that we have the link to. That was in what year? 2007?
2007, right. A couple
mm-hmm.
months ago.
All right. And this occurred in Virginia. It did not occur over on the East Coast, although in Virginia, you're not really too far from the East Coast. But right. It did not occur on the East Coast. It occurred in Virginia, and it's my understanding that it was in the southwest part of Virginia. Is that correct?
No. Southeast.
Southeast part of Virginia.
Right.
All right, now, Bill, you first became aware of this sighting when Terrell got in touch with you. Tell us a little bit about how you became aware of it and what you saw when you saw his video.
But that's actually two different stories.
Okay.
I actually found out about Terrell from the Virginia Pilot article that was published back in it was late 2005 or early 2006. And he and another young man named Nathan Bieberdeck, who lived in Norfolk, which is just about maybe 20 miles away from Suffolk, where Terrell lives, had both been featured in a Virginia Pilot News article saying that they had seen some UFOs. And I have tried to track down both Nathan Bieberdeck and Terrell, and I was unable to in 2006 and had pretty much given up. Fast forward to March of 2007, when I was getting ready to do the Phoenix Lights Conference, I did obviously some radio appearances with you and Jerry Pippin and Coast to Coast. And Terrell's dad actually had heard me talking about the Norfolk incident and what was going on in Norfolk and my UFO sighting, and told Terrell about me, and Terrell contacted me after that. So that's actually how I met Terrell. And when we compared notes about the UFO sightings that we had, we found out that in our Halloween of 2005, on three nights in a row, we both saw UFOs for three nights in a row. And this was actually witnessed by me and a couple of my neighbors, and I actually have two photographs of the orb-shaped UFO that we got on the third night because I was basically waiting for them to come back. And so when we compared notes in March of 2007, it was incredible that, you know, both of us have had this experience, even though it was separated by 30 miles or so.
All right. And then the video. How did that happen?
This is another interesting story. All right. So I had met Terrell in March of 2007, and we exchanged notes. We're like, wow, this is pretty cool. And he, maybe a couple weeks after I initially met him, he sent me a video of a UFO that he caught on his camera phone. And this video was obviously very poor because it was on the camera phone. It was on night. But, you know, I knew just based on what he had told me about the other stuff that he was telling the truth, because I don't think two people could see the same thing on the same nights and three nights in a row and not have confirmation that, you know, something really strange was going on. And so I decided to post it on YouTube to find out if there were any other witnesses that might want to come forward and corroborate Terrell's story. Well, that video was up for probably 6 months or so, and a local TV station, WTKR, decided that they were going to do what they called a crack investigative report on it. But what it really was just a well-planned and well-executed spoof on both of us, basically to ridicule us and make us look like idiots. And so they did their little broadcast. They said that they contacted Terrell. They never contacted him. They went to Terrell's apartment while Terrell was at work and then said, well, we tried to contact him in his apartment, but we couldn't find him. And then just went on to do this ridiculous, you know, charade of an investigation or whatever they want to call it. And the first thing that Terrell knew about it, or I knew about it, was from YouTube people who were logging on to the video that they that the local television station had featured in the newscast. You remember that, Terrell?
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
That was unbelievable. And the thing is, they say in the newscast that they couldn't find Terrell, yet all of my information about how to contact him or contact me was right there next to the video in the YouTube. Email address and everything. So it was just a joke. So that really, really, really made me angry. And I'm actually glad that they did it, because what it ended up making me do was to get a video camera. I actually bought a new camera, an HD camera. And I gave Terrell my old one, which is still a great video camera, just not HD. You know, I said, Terrell, go out and get what we know is going on. And that was in, I think, that was after we met that person from Langley, right?
Correct, yeah.
October 13th, that's what that was.
Yeah, October 13th.
So, yeah, that's another story for another day, God. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, he called me up on Halloween, which is actually the two-year anniversary of our mutual UFO sighting back on Halloween in 2005. He said, you're not going to believe what's going on. They're back, blah, 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 blah. And he got the footage that we've got printed up there now. It's amazing.
All right. Now, you mentioned meeting someone from Langley. Do you want to elaborate on that any?
Well, this particular individual claims to be a contractor from Langley. They're a very interesting person. They claim that they have extraterrestrial contact on an intimate basis, basically it's face-to-face contact. And Bill invited all of us over to his place. I don't want to get too in-depth with this person, but they have a specific agenda at hand. You know, they share some... Go ahead.
Yeah. We're not really sure. I think that's a subject that we don't really want to touch on too much, because we're not really sure what to make of it, and it seems to be pretty nefarious, and we're just going to leave it at that.
All right.
There were some veiled threats that were made, and whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. The government's going to do what the government's going to do.
All right. Fair enough. You got this video from Terrell. You gave him your camera to shoot the video. He shot it. You got it.
Yep.
And we've got 2 minutes now until break. And in that 2 minutes, tell us what you have done to this video so we understand what we're looking at.
Well, basically, initially, we got a number of clips, probably a good maybe half an hour, maybe 45 minutes of video footage. This particular clip was very interesting to me because Terrell was actually describing what was going to happen before it happened, or as it was happening, I should say. And so the clip that we have focused on was the clip where Terrell was describing a jet, military jet, we assume, that was intercepting whatever the object was. And at the time, we had no idea what the object was, because this would have been probably late November when I had just gotten the new software installed. And still learning it. It's very complicated. WCS3 is the software we're using. And basically, I had some software issues and some computer problems, which put everything on the shelf for about a month and a half, 2 months, up until just recently when I got everything reinstalled. And what I did is I went back and looked at the footage, and initially it didn't seem like much was there, because the shot that we're showing happens in literally, I think, about 15 frames total. It might be longer than that. I'm not really positive, but I mean, it's literally the blink of an eye. And when we both saw the original footage, we both missed it. And so it wasn't until I did what's called a find edges filter, which basically, if there's an edge to the light, it will bring it out. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just as simple as that.
Okay, we got 20 seconds.
Yes, so we did that, and then I saw the boomerang shape, and then what I did is I went back to the original, I took the find edges off, and I enhanced the contrast and the brightness, and that's what we got. And it's this amazing boomerang-shaped object with this unknown object that seems to be attached to it.
All right, we have to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue talking with Bill Warrick and with Terrell Copeland. Don't go away.
hammer on the bedroom door. I'm still half sleeping, but there's one thing sure, and it's, yeah, I'm on my way. Lock, stock, and barrel into another day. Well, oh, mama, I'm on my way. Well, I don't know if I'll get real old and have whiskers and long gray hair. I just know I'll be a big damn fool if I lose the time that's here. Well, I hustle through traffic to my baby's place. I just can't wait to see that smiling face. I might be losing, but I'm in this race. You better believe it.
Back. My guests are Bill Warrick and Terrell Copeland. Tell us a little bit. We're talking about this incident, this UFO sighting that Terrell had in Virginia in 2007. So, Terrell, describe what you were seeing, if you will.
Okay. Well, to start off, it's sometimes out here in the city of Suffolk, when I see the, when I have these sightings, it's literally, I describe this to people sometimes, it's literally like a Star Wars movie or something, because you will see military aircraft all over the place, sometimes flying at low altitudes. You have gunship helicopters. Most of the time they're blacked out with no markings on them, F-18s or whatever military jets, and they're all looking for these spacecraft, what I truly believe to be spacecraft. This particular night that I shot a video on October the 31st, it was actually at 8:05 p.m. when I got that footage. What happened was, to go back, when I shot that video on March the 5th of 2007, that same object came back. This orb of light, or whatever was emitting this light source, and it was directly across the street from my apartment. I didn't have my camera on me, but when I saw this object, it just dropped out of the sky. It was maybe 500 feet up, and it just dropped from the sky like a bomb. I said, "Oh my God, what am I looking at here? What is going on?" So I called Bill. I'm like, UFOs out here again, you know. I'm gonna get my camera and see if I can find it, see if I can get some footage. I mean, we knew that they would be back, so I got my camera, and for some reason I knew where to go. I don't know how, but I knew where to go, and it also helped to see where the jets were going. And I say I rode around for about 10 minutes through the city. Suffolk is not a big city population-wise, but land-wise is very large. And This all started around 7:30, 7:40. I rode around for a couple minutes, and every once in a while, this object would pop up, sometimes very close to my vehicle, sometimes very high in altitude, and I kept following its position. And eventually, I ended up in the middle of this field. There's nothing out there. It's called Alawite County. It's the county next to the city of Suffolk where I live. And I got that footage at 8:05 p.m. where the jet looks like it, from my guess, just speculation, I'm guessing that it was going towards the orb, but it didn't see that other object, which could be a boomerang. It didn't see it. So you see the jet doing this maneuver. At the time, I thought it was going to crash because it just dipped right towards the ground. And I followed the jet.
When you say it dipped towards the ground, you're talking about the UFO.
No, the jet.
The jet.
The UFO was stationary. It didn't move. It was at an altitude maybe 2,000 feet. I'm not sure. But that was stationary. And that's when I began to shoot my video camera.
So the jet, as it approached the UFO, all of a sudden takes a dive towards the ground?
Exactly. A serious dive. You can see it on the videotape. I mean, it's going towards it, and it just dips towards the ground.
When you look at the video, they come so close that it looks like there was a near collision, for sure. And you know what's really interesting, just as an aside, and I'll let you all continue, but the night before that in Romania, there was a MiG pilot, flying a Russian MiG. He was from Romania, a colonel, and he said that he hit a UFO and damaged his aircraft. So we have it on the video.
And by the way, we have some listeners in Romania, and it should be... let's see, I think maybe very early morning there, so bună dimineața.
Wow. I would love to get some call-ins on that.
Yeah, so if you're in Romania and you know something about this UFO incident in Romania, give us a call when we open the telephone lines here a little bit later. Now, I wonder... why this military jet would take a sudden dive towards the ground?
He probably didn't see that.
You want to go close enough? Yeah, you know, he probably saw some kind of outline and just made an impromptu maneuver. So we can figure. And of course, it's difficult to tell, you know, what altitude the plane is in relationship to the hovering boomerang because it's nighttime, and you know we don't know what altitude they're at. So, in the video, what it looks like is you have something that's about 20 degrees up above the horizon, which is the boomerang, which isn't moving, and then you have the plane, which is coming in a sort of a wide, very wide arc from your northeast, behind your head, so to speak, coming down in front of you, and then it sort of circles down towards the ground and comes around.
Okay, now we don't see that in the flash. Clip that you provided. We just see when the object does that. Looks like it. Well, it doesn't look like it explodes, but there's this big flash of light, and then we see that's what we see in the flash clip that you provided. Is there a place where we can see this?
The longer portion of the
yeah
clip?
With the jet.
I would have to upload it. We're limited to about 10 minutes on that. Otherwise, you go beyond that and becomes a problem as far as the video loading. So yeah, we have about 45 minutes, roughly 45 minutes of tape that Terrell got of this object. And this is only the first, maybe I think the total clip on this is about 3.5, maybe 4 minutes that I've been able to analyze. And you have to keep in mind that when you use Adobe After Effects, you're talking about some intensive computer stuff. And, we don't have, $25,000 worth of equipment. I'm using a good laptop to do all this work that you're seeing on there. So it took me probably 3 weeks of part-time rendering time and, motion stabilization, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, just to get what you, just to get, you know, 2.5 minutes of footage.
Yeah.
So,
well, if you if you come up with a short clip of the jet and where it takes it.
I can publish that pretty easily, but I guess the point I was trying to make is that there is a lot more to this that I haven't even touched yet. We haven't even looked at it, so I'm sure that since we missed this one little flash of light and lost and didn't really see all the information that was in this particular frame of footage, mm-hmm. I'm sure that we're going to be able to pull out probably a lot more better footage out of the other 30 minutes of video that we've got. So this is just the tip of the iceberg, I think.
Yeah. Well, if you do that, I'll make the offer to burn my bandwidth. You, if you want to, you can. We'll build a page for it, and we'll burn my bandwidth on it if you want to. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So let's go back to this sighting. After the jet takes the dive towards the ground, what happens? How close to the ground does he get?
Too close for comfort to the pilot. I know that. Maybe 300, 400 feet towards the ground. I thought he was going to crash. But when he went towards the ground, you know, he maneuvered back up, got his altitude back up, and he went in the other direction at a very high rate of speed. And he didn't come back.
He didn't want any more to do with this thing, huh?
No.
Another jet came in and intercepted.
Exactly. Right, another jet came from the opposite direction. Yeah, it was a lot of jets out that night.
How many jets were out that night that you saw, Terrell?
They were scattered around the city. I remember specifically I saw five flying in a V formation, but that was later on in the night. That was later on. So I saw five at one time. There were two at the time that I took this video. You had the one that dipped and left, and there was another that came in the opposite direction. On the original videotape, I'm saying to myself, well, maybe the UFO was a jet itself, because I followed the one jet with my camera, and when I went back to my original position, the object was gone. It was another airplane where that object was. So I was saying, well, okay, maybe it was an airplane, but it was another jet. And I guess that military craft was looking for whatever, you know, that object was.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't see the object fly away?
No. It disappeared. It was gone. And that's the second time it's happened. When I took the footage in March the 5th, again, except there were no jets, there were military choppers out there, and the chopper goes towards the craft, and the craft just disappears.
And when you say disappear, you mean it's like it just blinks out?
Right. I look, in a blink of an eye, it's gone. I don't know where it went. It's just gone.
All right. We have a break coming up here in about half a minute. When we come back from the break, I want us to talk specifically about this video. Now, folks, let me tell you, if you have the browser open, it's been open since the show started on my site, you see one video link. You need to hit refresh, and you'll see two. All right? So one of the top video link is a video of a UFO in Hong Kong. And then the other one is this UFO that Terrell has been talking with us about. And we will be back to talk some more with Terrell and with Bill Warrick about this amazing, amazing incident. We'll be back right after this.
Somewhere, anywhere. And when I'm lonely, I can always close my eyes
Did you know the Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcast right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. My guest is William Warwick. I should say my guests are William Warwick and Terrell Copeland, and we're talking about a UFO sighting that was videotaped by Terrell Copeland, and the videotape then processed, enhanced, by William Warwick, and this took place in 2007. Again, what month was it, Terrell?
October.
In October. Oh, that's right. You said it was Halloween. Now, this back in 2006, you guys are about 30 miles apart and have not met yet. But you both see the same UFO incident, same UFO sighting. And it was on Halloween 2006, right?
2005.
Actually,
2005.
Yeah.
2005. Okay.
It was actually three nights in a row that we both saw it, beginning on Halloween.
Why do you think it happened again starting on Halloween in 2007?
Reinforcement.
Reinforcement. So then you think that whoever is driving this UFO or whoever is commanding it did this just to underscore in the minds of those who had seen it before that, yes, it's real and we're back? Is that what you're saying?
You either accept that or it's a total coincidence. And I find it hard to believe that these events are coincidences.
What do you think, Terrell?
No, it's no coincidence. I've seen these objects for over 10 years now. There's no such thing as coincidence when dealing with so-called UFOs. I think, again, it was, you know, reaffirming or whatever that, you know, yes, we're watching you or we're here. We want to make contact because I felt like I was allowed to take this videotape. I was allowed to do so.
All right, this kind of thing is happening all over the world now. You mentioned Romania. It's also Bulgaria, Turkey, the Czech Republic, Russia. Mexico is having massive sightings. What do you think's up, guys?
The best description that I could use would be from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Near the end of the movie where the French guy turns around to the American general and says, this is an event sociological. This is a sociological event on a human scale that transcends all nationality, race, creed, religion, everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's my personal opinion, if you look at the way that it's escalated. And, you know, it's interesting because you hear these news people get on, you know, and do all these reports and they make fun of it. And they say, why don't they come to my house or why don't they get on my camera and I'll come meet them and greet them? Well, probably because they think you're jerks. You know? There's
well,
6 million
know,
people on the planet you could meet. You know, who are you going to go meet?
Well, one of the things that I hear a lot is, well, you know, if they really want to make contact, why don't they land on the White House lawn? Well, my question is, why should they care about...
Exactly. That's
I mean,
the last place they're going to go.
Well, see, the point is this. They, the media, often uses that, and it indicates
this belief that, first of all, things revolve around us. Secondly, it indicates from the American media that they think the world, and thus the universe, revolves around our White House.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't. Now, that doesn't mean our White House is not important, does not mean that the President of the United States is not important. But on a galactic scale, if I were coming from another star system to a planet that can barely shoot bottle rockets up off the surface, I'm not going to be too impressed by their political structure, or you know, it's, why should I care? I don't care.
It would be equivalent to us going to Africa and sitting down with a group of chimpanzees and having the leader come up and throw a rock at us and us really caring.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's...
Well, I guess really, and you know, we think we're very, very advanced, and for us, we are. But provided that extraterrestrial intelligent beings do exist, and provided that they are traveling here and visiting us, we must appear to them to be knuckle draggers.
That would be an understatement, I think.
I think, you know how we laugh at Jeff Foxworthy when he says, "You might be a redneck." And he does a series of, you know, we laugh at that.
Absolutely.
And he tells jokes about, well, really caricatures of behavior that he says, if you do this, you might be a redneck. You know, if I were coming from another planet, I might look at this whole planet and say, yep, they're rednecks. They are all rednecks.
Keep on going. Yeah, I deal a lot with Native Americans. I have a lot of very close Native American friends, and they have a word for our society, and it's called Kianaskatsi, and it means literally life out of control. And all of the problems that we have today are all man-made problems, with the exception of the sun throwing out rays to the earth and heating it up, and I'm sure carbon dioxide has a lot to do with that too. But basically, our society has no direction. We have no real goals. We have no national goals. We have nothing. I mean, we get up every day. We go to a job that most of us hate. We do what we're told to do. We pay our 30-year mortgage, which is ridiculous. And we live these lives of quiet desolation, just like Thoreau said. And the UFO subject, in its entirety, offers a whole other dimension and a whole other way of thinking that really transcends everything that came before.
One of the things that you're talking about, this transcends, and really what we're talking about here is the end of a paradigm and the beginning of another. And there is a new article out on the internet right now where a scientist by the name of Michael Myers is quoted. He is out here in Arizona, and he says something rather amazing. He says, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not quoting, but this is my paraphrase of it, that there are tons of solar systems out there that have Earth-like planets around them. Now, that's a pretty amazing revelation coming from a scientist that studies that sort of thing. And he says it just sort of matter-of-factly. There's no big announcement in a press conference and all. And he just says that there are a whole bunch of solar systems out there that have Earth-like planets around them. He does not say that there is a probability of it. He says there is, that they do exist.
Absolutely. And you know, the secret societies have known about this for a long time. The Native Americans legends... we just had an amazing interview with Priscilla Wolf, who's of the Apache and Hohokam tradition, down there with you guys in Phoenix. We were talking about this the other night. And, you know, the idea of extraterrestrials is not really foreign to them at all. In fact, it's the exact opposite of what it is to us. It's completely accepted by them and integrated into their cultural belief systems, whereas we will fight it tooth and nail in the Western civilization
you know, to the point where, you know, we have to see it to believe it. Well, I mean, we believe in a lot of things that we don't see. I mean, everyone goes to church and prays to a God. Most of them have never met them. I don't think they've met God. And I believe in God, or a God, but I'm not to the point where I can't accept the idea of an extraterrestrial being, another species, who lives interdependent of us, you know? I can fit that into my whole ethos and my way of thinking.
Well, let me throw this out. There are many religions on this planet. Here in the United States, when we talk about three major world religions, we tend to talk about a specific three, and that is the group that is Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. All three of those have angels. Now, we're headed into break, but as we do, let me ask you to ponder. Are angels from here? If they're not, they are extraterrestrials. We'll be back.
We are back, and let me say to those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you, and we have been talking with William Warrick and Terrell Copeland about this pretty amazing UFO sighting. The links are on the site if you want to view the video. They're on my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Right next to William's picture, you will see two links. The top link is a UFO sighting in Hong Kong, and it appears to be the same or at least the same type of UFO that Terrell Copeland videotaped in Virginia. That one appears in the second video link. So the top link is Hong Kong, and then the bottom link is the UFO sighting that was videotaped by Terrell.
Okay, guys, let's go straight to our telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. If you will, tell us your first name and from where you are calling.
This is Michelle from Quebec.
Yes, Michelle.
Good evening, Kevin, and good evening to your guests.
Good evening.
My question is, I think, first of all, we're going to have a problem not being on the top of the food chain. But right now we're seeing a lot of gigantic UFOs all over the world, more than we've ever seen before. Not that we haven't seen them since the 40s, but we, right now in the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen these awful mile-long UFOs. Do you think they're pissed off at the government, and now they said they're taking it into their own hands? And Kevin, especially on the top of the food line, would you give me your comment on it?
Okay, I'll do that. Were you fellows able to hear Michelle?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get your thoughts on that, and then I'll comment. And Michelle, thank you for the call.
I'll take it. Okay, you got it, Rob.
Well, yeah, I agree 100%. We've always, you know, since the 40s, since the so-called UFO phenomenon began, you know, you always heard about the small disc, you know, that were 30 and 40 feet long, and eventually we heard about the cigars that were 100 feet long. But over the last decade or so, we have these massive craft that are showing up in different parts of the world, mostly triangular boomerang shape, and massive, you know, meaning, you know, sometimes a mile long, like the object in Stephenville, Texas. You know, I think that this global contact is truly about to happen. And if they're pissed off at the government, I don't know, but I truly believe that we are using, trying to use weapons against them for quite some time, and that could have something to do with it.
What do you think, William?
I can tell you that the Native Americans that I am friends with, who are very well connected with the Aztec and the Mayans and, down in South America, in fact, I funded a trip down there for them to purchase some land in Guatemala, they are telling me that this is part of an initiation that actually started over a year ago, when Guillermo Chavez Rosetta and Linda Velarde of Danza Azteca Anahuaca went to South America to participate in some of these ceremonies. And when Guillermo came back and he was at the conference and he gave, for the first time ever, a slideshow which basically showed some of the Mayan glyphs and what they meant, some of these Mayan glyphs, and some of this information has never been released. He was allowed to release this information by the Brujas. Now, the Brujas in South America are the ancient shaman priests who went underground in Guatemala when the wars broke out, and they're coming back out now, but they're still kind of in hiding. And what they said was that, beginning when they did this initiation ceremony back in 2007, that from now until 2012, we were in the period of what's called the initiation. It was literally the period of time where these beings that founded their civilization, the Pleiadians in particular, for them, would come back and begin to initiate, so to speak, those people that... I'll explain this, that I guess you could say we're worthy of it. I mean, maybe that's not the right thing to say, but, and that all of this was going to lead up to 2012. And interestingly enough, I'm getting this from different Native American tribes. And some of them are actually
telling me that their elders are in contact with some of these aliens right now as we speak, and have been for quite some time. And so what I've been told is that they are watching, and that this is all leading up to a momentous event in 2012 when the Earth and the whole solar system reaches what everyone's been talking about. It's gaining more and more popularity now, which is the galactic alignment and a possible shifting of the poles of the Earth, which has happened before. According to the Mayans, this is like the fifth time that this has happened. This is the fifth civilization that's going to be coming up. Four of them have been destroyed before.
All right, let me throw my two cents in, since Michelle asked, and then I've got something else I want to bring up about, let me just throw my two cents in, we'll take care of that first. Michelle asked, what do I think about we have a problem with this, you know, we've always been the top of the food chain. And I think I understand what you're saying, that we don't want to be not on top of the food chain. On the one hand, we're pretty much destroying the food chain, so there's not much to be on top of anymore, and it's dwindling. And as evidence of that, Häagen-Dazs ice cream says 24 of their flavors are in danger of being canceled because of the missing honeybees. All right. Now, that's the first time I've heard a major corporation say, hey, you know what? Part of our business is going to disappear with the honeybees. All right, but then there's this ego and status thing about we run things here. And we don't want to not run things here. That may... first of all, that's natural, but it may be beyond our control. It may not be something we can control. If beings can come here from other star systems and do it pretty much in the blink of an eye, I doubt there's a whole heck of a lot we can do to remain in control if they decide that we're not going to be in control. And that would be a major concern to every government, because they're in the control business. That's what they get hired to do. I don't know. Does that make sense to you guys?
Right. Yeah, I agree.
One thing I'd like to add before I forget, pertinent to his question, though, is that about the whole control and thing, is that these boomerang-shaped objects are thousands of years old. The whole contrive, in fact, this is what Priscilla Wolf just told us this 2 weeks ago. It's the first time I've ever heard it. And I believe it's just now being okay for release by those tribes. I've heard rumors about this story, but basically, 1,000 years ago, those same boomerangs that were seen in Phoenix were seen 1,000 years ago by the Holcomb tribes. And they had what we'll call weather dolls, and they were crystals that they used to control the weather. There's a whole big, long story. We're going to do a documentary on it, and Guillermo's stuff, too, from South America sometime in the fall. But in a nutshell, you know, if you believe the Native Americans, and I really do, because, form follows function and function follows form, we're in for a pretty big ride in the next couple of years, because these problems are not going to go away. And... we need to learn how to deal with them, or there is not going to be any civilization. And I know that seems dire, and that seems, 2001 came and nothing happened, or 2000, I'm sorry, and all this and that. But this is something on a totally different scale. This is on a galactic scale. No human civilization has really ever experienced this that we're aware of, and that's passing through the middle of the galactic plane. And it only seems logical that when we pass from one side of the galactic plane to the other side of the galactic plane, that we're going to flip poles, just like a positive to a negative charge would flip poles if you go from one side of the pole to the other pole. And there is a lot of evidence, and I mean a lot of evidence, to suggest that the ancients knew this, and that this is why they built things in stone, because they knew it would be the only thing that would survive. They knew that the pyramids would be figured out. They knew the hieroglyphs would eventually be figured out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's only for us today to try and figure out what was going on, which I think we have. Now we have to deal with that. Now we have to say, okay, now that we know it's possible that this could happen, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah, because we can't stop it.
That's been told to me time and time again, that we cannot stop what's going to happen. All we can do is minimize the impact. All we can do is try to find the people that we can work together with, and that's how you're going to survive. The people, it's just like in the Bible where it says the meek shall inherit the earth. Why would the meek inherit the earth? Because they're the only ones that can work together.
That's a good point.
The violent people will kill each other.
You know, I have used this analogy before. Let's say that there's a gigantic tsunami headed to shore. You have a choice. You can stand on the shore and you can shake your fist at the oncoming tsunami, and you can swear that you're going to stand your ground. By God, it's not going to hurt you. You're not going to let it rule your life. You can do that, and it will wipe you out. Or you can go get your surfboard.
Yeah, adapt. Mm-hmm. Look, I get this vision in my head, this thing, and I'm going to put on a T-shirt, I swear to God, and sell it. It's evolve or die. What I think of the UFO situation, what they're telling us is, look, evolve or die.
That's pretty dire. That is pretty dire. And I'm sure there are people that agree with that. I'm sure there are people that don't. Let me say to our audience, the telephone lines are open. The telephone line is, the telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. Now, that telephone number is toll-free throughout North America. That means if you're in the United States or Canada, that's toll-free. 1-800-289-1092. If you're outside of North America, you can still participate, and you can do so a couple of ways. One, you can call that number, but it will not be toll-free. All right. Number two, you can send a flash message. It's just an email. Send me an email, but send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. And if you send a flash message, I will read it on the air, and we will get these guys to comment on it. Now, we just got one in, and I'll read it in just a moment. But before we get to it, let me get your thoughts on this. Dr. Michael Sala, are you familiar with him?
Yes.
All right. Dr. Michael Sala has just published on the Internet information that I think is rather earth-shaking. He says that on February the 12th, the United Nations, at the United Nations in New York, there was a special secret meeting of a secret UFO working group, and they decided that the time has come to begin to acclimate the world's population to the reality of the extraterrestrial presence on Earth. And they are going to accelerate this acclimation until 2013, at which time the UFO presence on Earth, or the extraterrestrial presence on Earth, will be unambiguous. Now, I cannot corroborate that that meeting happened. I cannot corroborate anything about that report, other than that is what Michael Sala has released. And I'd like to get your thoughts on that. What do you think about that?
Priscilla Wolf and Guillermo, my Native American friends, have been been telling me that for over a year and a half now. So it doesn't surprise me at all, not one bit.
What do you think, Terrell?
Yeah, of course. It was inevitable. I don't know why the U.S. in particular is dragging its feet, you know, because, you know, Mexico is very liberal with the subject. And again, we go back talking about these big ships. They're just too huge the last couple of years to go unnoticed.
Yeah. Estrella Apollonia Delgado told me that she was doing a ceremony with some female-only ceremony, which are tend to be pretty powerful from what I understand. And she witnessed a what she described as a skyscraper, in a UFO that looked like a skyscraper that floated over them while they're doing a ceremony in Mexico. And it's impossible for the government to deny these things, and I think they know what's coming too, because they don't have any control over this. If this boomerang that we saw in Suffolk was a military piece of hardware, they wouldn't send their own aircraft up to try and get in a collision with it. You know?
Uh-huh.
You know, they wouldn't do that. They would say, hey, look, all right, we're testing some stuff over there. Stay out our, Terminal Control Area 5. Boom, done. You know what I mean? I mean, that's not what we're seeing. What we're seeing is these accidents. And interestingly enough, if you go, to Romania, Romania has more of an open policy to UFOs. They got the MiG pilot on there, the colonel, of the military, talking about how he hit a UFO. And they're like, well, do you think it was a bird strike? And no, it wasn't a bird strike. It was a UFO. We have video of it. The video is non-conclusive. All we know is that we hit something and it wasn't a plane or a bird. That's Romania. Now, can you imagine the same thing happening in America? I mean, where they fire, journalists in small towns because they want to cover, unusual UFO sightings, like they did in Stevensville? I mean, it's ridiculous. We almost have a fascist system. We do have a fascist system.
And well, I'm not sure about that. In that case, I wouldn't say it's fascist, but I'll tell you what it is. It's owned... That newspaper is owned by a company in Australia. And so it's not your local newspaper, folks.
Well,
and
there's a lot of money that...
There's a whole lot of that all over America where your so-called local newspaper ain't.
Yeah.
Let's go to this flash message. This is from Larry Jones. He says, as much as I would like to believe that these things are peaceful, I don't. If they are showing up in mass, that to me does not sound like a peaceful mission. It sounds more like an invasion. And if this is an invasion, what is their purpose? It can't be good. To me, if it was for peace, then why not send a delegation rather than an army? Any thoughts?
That's an interesting comment, but let's face it, if they were overtly aggressive, I think we would probably know about it by now.
Yeah.
The argument has been made, and I think it's a good argument, that these things have been showing up around here for centuries, and they haven't attacked us yet.
Therein is the rub. We could be silently invaded. Sure, that's one option. But you know what? We've lived our whole civilization is based on fear, as far as I'm concerned. And this is just another way of making us afraid of something. Maybe we should try something different and trust in each other.
Yeah, I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to fire weapons at something that traveled across light years to get here. I really don't think that's smart, but apparently that has been done some.
And here's the other thing, Kevin. Let's suppose that they are a threat. Well, who knows what we can do to them? I mean, they probably have some kind of force field. If they could bend space-time, they can certainly bend a rocket headed towards them or a laser beam, because bending space-time is bending, you could bend light. So, I mean, I don't care what kind of weapon system we have. If they are aggressive, what are we going to do about it?
So what do you propose? I'd like to hear from you as a UFO investigator, and then Terrell as a Marine. I know you're not speaking for the Marines, but I mean from that perspective, from your perspective.
Right.
All right. So what do we do?
Walk softly and carry a big stick. That's what I say.
I don't think we have a stick to carry.
What else can we do? I mean, what else can we do? It's such a ridiculous proposition, because if they are, let's say there's a silent invasion. Let's say they can take human form and they're really reptilians that can be chameleon-like, like the Navajos say. How do you fight that? So,
you know, why don't we just focus on ourselves? The more and more I look at the UFO situation, the more I say it's a reflection of us. You know, it shows us the best and worst that we are, but we can't just sit here and say, okay, there's something up in the sky, we don't know what it is. And we can't have reporters that'll just go out and do stories and say, I've got these pictures, it's something in the sky, we don't know what it is. You know, it's like there always has to be a polarization of whatever the subject matter is. You're either on one side or the other. It can't be in the middle. And it's just ridiculous. Life's not like that.
Yeah. Okay, Terrell, what do you say from your point of view, having – let's just set it this way. You're a Marine. You're on duty. You're pulling security duty, and one lands. Now what?
Correct. Well, if I was in that – still in that frame of mind, you know, my first thought would be, you know, what's my orders? You know, what am I going to do? If I'm told to fire on this object, then as a Marine, it's my duty to follow orders and to fire on that object. But as a more open, and I say this word carefully, free individual, free thinking, I absolutely would not do that. I know people are kind of cautious, and most people are afraid, those who do believe in this, but I want to make it clear that this is the best thing that's ever happened in my life. And like Bill said, it's more about us. You know, you've never heard about anybody being killed by UFOs. You know, you rarely hear about anybody being a civilian aircraft being shot down by a spaceship. I think that they're here saying, you know, what the hell are you people doing to your planet? What are you doing? You know?
Well, why is this the best thing that ever happened to you?
Just the possibility that I'm experiencing contact with a race of individuals or creatures not from here. That makes me take a step back and look at myself and say, wow, why me? You know, what have I done? Why would they choose to show themselves to me? You know, maybe I should start being better to my fellow neighbor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if I do that, that will start a chain reaction where everybody could see these individuals and we could truly become one society, one civilization where there's no race and no politics, things of that nature.
It's a new world order, but from the bottom up, not from the top down.
Right.
I'll make one quick comment. One thing I've noticed about witnesses in general is there is this transformation that takes place within a true UFO eyewitness. In other words, what I define by that is a person who's seen something that they know is not normal. In other words, it's not a plane, it's not a balloon, it's not a firework, it's not, you know, a bumblebee. You know, when a person, and Kevin, you said you had one, I think, in the Southeast. When people go through these things, civilization in general started with, you know, the Earth is the center of the universe. And then it was, okay, this, you know, the Earth is not the center, the Sun is the center of the universe. And it was solar. And we've been in this solar sort of mindset up until just recently. Now, within the past 100 years, with our new technologies, we're getting to a galactic consciousness level. And so we're on the cusp, I think, of getting rid of all the old stuff the hard way. The Indians call it the Great Purification. And the metamorphosis of the human civilization in this millennium, after 2012, will be completely different from what we have today, because it has to be. We are either going to evolve or we'll be exterminated. That's my opinion. At some point, maybe 10 years, 50 years, 100 years from now, but at some point, we have to change the way we're doing things.
We think a lot of times, I know because I read books where people write about it, and I hear people talk about it every night here on the show, we think of this whole UFO phenomena a whole lot in terms of the technology. And that certainly is mysterious and wondrous, and we would like to be able to do those cool things too. I mean, you know, flying at 10,000 miles an hour and taking a right angle turn, a 90 degree.
Yeah.
You know, we'd like to be able to do that too. But we need, I think, also, or at least it makes sense to me, that we need to think about this sociologically. If there are intelligent beings, or let me say, assuming there are intelligent beings flying those things, they are intelligent beings, and that means that there is a sociology involved for them, and they are observing ours. Now, we're not quite observing theirs yet, but they apparently are observing ours. One of the really weird things they have to think about us, and you mentioned, just touched on it, Terrell. You mentioned
right.
race.
Right.
Okay, you know, that's got to be strange for them. When was the last time you heard someone say, "Well, that's it, Margaret, we got to sell the house," and she says, "Why?" And he says, "Did you see a family with blue eyes moved in across the street?" Yeah, we don't do it with blue eyes. We don't do it with a color of hair. We just do that with a color of skin. And that's got to be really, really weird for these guys.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this, and we'll accept your phone calls, your questions, your comments. 1-800-289-1092.
Sleep, can't even breathe, but that won't change soon. If you're lonely, ask her, she owns me, she lives in my room. Make up your mind, leave the boy behind. Melt me and drag me down, down into your mind. My clothes are burning, I'm out.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com. Welcome back. Our telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-289-1092, 1-800-289-1092. If you have a comment or a question, and we're talking with William Warrick. He is a published author. He is a UFO investigator and researcher and video producer. We also are talking with Terrell Copeland, who videotaped the video from which the clip is taken that you see on my site, all right? Now, guys, just before we went to break, I brought this thing up about race. By itself, that's not part of the genre of this show. By itself, racial issues are not what we talk about on this show. But when we talk about these beings coming from some other star system, and they look at us and they see us fighting over that, don't you think that's got to be weird for them?
I guess it would depend on whether or not they came from a homogenous society.
Well, they apparently, the stories that we hear there's like 60 or 70 different species of extraterrestrials that are visiting the Earth and interacting with the Earth. That being true, they apparently are getting along together. We hear about this Galactic Federation. They seem to have gotten this worked out.
I think that they look at us like tribal warfare the same way that we look at chimpanzees. I mean, we share 99% of our genes with them, for Christ's sakes, you know? There's only 1% difference between our DNA structure and a chimpanzee, and those genes are mostly have to do with hair and exterior features. So, you know,
what do you think now, Terrell?
Well, I just want to make 2 points. I think that, do they think it's bizarre or weird? It depends on which particular group, because I think there's many. But I think that, one, the human race is evolving. We're continually evolving. I think that eventually we will be one society, not just in a mental aspect or what have you, but in a physical aspect. There will be one race of people, one particular group. You know, everyone won't look the same, but we'll probably have the same skin complexion, the same color, what have you, because it started out like that. And the second point I wanted to make is I believe from reading different things, the Bible in particular, the Sumerian myths, so-called myths, Babylonian, Egyptian, that a particular group of extraterrestrials seeded us. I truly believe that. So if they seeded us, I would think that they would be very disappointed in the way that we have acted toward one another.
Yeah, I think they would be. Yeah, I agree with you. And I think they would be maybe even a little bit ticked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're alive on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Gary from New York.
Yes, Gary.
Good job on getting the broadband up and running.
Well, I'll tell you, I appreciate that, but I have to pass the compliment on to JetCast. They did it.
Okay. And I would also publicly like to thank, on behalf of all your listeners, our benefactor that allowed the 800 number to come back into service.
Absolutely.
And my question is for William and Terrell is, do you think that either one of you guys or both of you guys have been somehow subconsciously or consciously contacted by these people that are piloting these crafts and that are allowing you to take these videos? And I'll hang up and listen for your responses.
Gary, thank you for the call.
Terrell, I'm going to let you take that one first, buddy. We were talking about this the other day.
Right. It's going to sound really weird because I like to stay away from the specifics on my contact because it kind of turns away the new people, so to speak, who are interested in UFOs. But, yes, it'll be discussed more in the History Channel episode is coming up.
But you have been contacted.
Yes, yes. I haven't seen these beings face to face or anything like that, but there was a particular incident where someone was talking to me in the place that I live. I could hear them the way that I hear that we're talking right now. And when specifically about the video, I was able to find this object because mentally there was something there that was guiding me towards it. I didn't know where I was going. That field that I took the footage, I've never been there before. I just knew where to go for some reason. The contact with me personally is definitely there, and it increases on a daily basis.
Okay, William, what about you?
Yes. And I think that it is very much a psychotropic or psychotronic experience in the sense that I don't know if it's due to the propulsion system or the EM fields that they put out, but I have had a few experiences where there was sort of the same thing that he's talking about, maybe in a little bit more, it's not something I really like to talk about. It would be very difficult for two beings who are from two totally different solar systems to actually meet or touch each other because their basic structure, not just genetic, but atomic structure would be different. So a lot of the contact seems to occur, or communication, if there is communication, and I've had very little in the sense of actually hearing words, only a couple of phrases actually, and the rest of it is much more psychic, or something that transpires or occurs on the psychic plane, so to speak, or in the dreamscape, or whatever you want to call it. It's non-conscious, subconscious stuff. So the answer to this question is yes. It does occur. I think it has a lot to do with your specific bloodline, okay? And we can get into all kinds of various caverns on that. But basically, those people that have the genetic makeup that perhaps their ancestors had, that they had contact with before, this is basically what the Native Americans said. So they are coming back to meet the people, the descendants, so to speak, of the people that they were in contact with before.
Well, with a name like Smith, I'm a descendant of everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the last name, it could be completely, totally important, or it could be completely unimportant.
Yeah.
You know? But that's the impression that I get.
All right, let's go back to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. All right. 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. Be ready to talk with us when you call, because I might answer immediately, and then again, you might be on hold for a minute or two. You just never know. Here's a flash message. This one comes from Australia. It says, "Hi, Kevin. It seems to me that if aliens wanted to be accepted in our world, that it makes sense they would start with a major political or military power in our world. In other words, something like America. I have not heard of an escalation in UFO activity in Australia. How surprising is that?" That was, by the way, folks, tongue-in-cheek. He's saying, we haven't heard about it.
Right.
All right, consider this. Maybe this is the beginning of something that will be spread from the USA to the rest of the world. Very quickly, what do you guys think about that?
I would probably have to disagree with him, because I think that, if anything, the evidence suggests that this is a global, absolutely, totally global phenomenon. I think the difference is that you have a lot more people in the United States with a lot more free time and money, you know, to buy video cameras and do the kinds of things that Americans do. You know, I've been to Portugal, I've been to other countries, and you know what? I mean, most of the rest of the world doesn't have it as good as America does. And they may not be so concerned or have the time to be concerned about these things like we are. But they're certainly a lot more open to it than we are. So, I don't know, you know.
What do you think, Terrell?
Yeah, I disagree with that individual to an extent. Australia has a very famous case, the Freddie Valenti case, a pilot who was flying over, I think it was Queensland or something like that, and his last words on this earth was, "I'm looking at an object flying around my plane, and it's not a plane." And that was the last thing he ever said. This was in 1978, but it is a global phenomenon that's happening and is ramping up, so to speak. And I think that the rest of the world is waiting for the U.S. to take the lead and say, yes, extraterrestrials exist. They're flying around our airspace, and that will open up the whole can of worms.
Okay, we are headed off into a break here in just a few seconds. I think you're right. I think, you know, we only need to take note of the fact that the Mexican Defense Ministry released that video of UFOs flying around one of their planes. Brazil has opened up some of their files to UFO investigators. The French have put theirs on the Internet. The British Ministry of Defense has opened their files. And the former Defense Minister of Canada has gone public saying it is all real and it's time that the world know about it. So, yeah, I think it is a worldwide phenomenon. When we come back, we will address another flash message that has come in, and we might have time for another call or two. 1-800-289-1092. We'll be back.
It all away if the right one came along. If I believed in magic and I could conjure up a Venus with a wave, I'd send her away if the right one came along. There's a shortage of it in this world. Crystal vision, she stands before me breathing, but for now I'm only dreaming till the right one comes along. In this cold and solitary world, you pay for diamonds and you get no pearls.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com. Welcome back. We are on Final Approach. That means, of course, that we only have a few minutes left until the end of this show. And so if you plan on calling, that now is the time, 1-800-289-1092.
All right. My guests are William Warrick and Terrell Copeland. And if you haven't seen the video, be sure you click on both of those links on my website, right beside William's picture. Gentlemen, we have a flash message from Italy, and from Angelo. It says, possession of a higher technology is no guarantee of a higher enlightenment. There certainly is some reason they have not come before. Perhaps in their world there wasn't the opportunity to arrive yet, and now there is. Maybe they were busy taking down other worlds, unable to hold up their position on the food chain. Why would you possibly believe, and on what evidence, that these beings are to be trusted? You have no logical reason to trust them. The human race has never been left alone. Tell them all to get lost, along with all the infiltrated beings among us. Let the humans have their planet without overlord manipulation. So let's start with Terrell. What do you say, Terrell?
Wow, that was, that was kind of harsh at the end. but there's a great saying that I heard one time over the internet, one of the chat rooms. Somebody said that our superior technology will ultimately catch up with our destructive nature, and I agree to that extent. We have some of the technology. I always stress when I talk to UFO investigators that most of the UFOs that I've seen, so-called UFOs, I believe were built by us humans. I think that there's some type of government machines out there, because some of them that I've seen, most of the time they're triangular shape, but they can stop, they can hover, they can do these crazy maneuvers, and you can hear jet noise, but they're not true jet. There's something else. There's some type of hybrid technology. And they're not up there for fun and show. They're up there to possibly intercept the real spacecraft, and I think that's the main reason why you don't have a country like China kicking down our door saying, you know, where's the money you are? Because it's all about war games and whatnot.
That's my take. Very quickly, William, what do you think about this? We have a caller on hold.
That was kind of a sort of all over the place sort of comment. I would just say that, you know, we have no evidence to show that they are hostile towards the human race. They may be hostile towards our military that's trying to shoot them out of the sky. But hey, you know, the Islamic people have, you know, the tradition of you always help the stranger. You always be nice to the guy that you don't know, because you don't know who he really is. So you know, we do these things at our own peril.
All right, let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Greg from Kentucky.
Yes, Greg.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you guys know how the UN said that it's going to be unambiguous by 2012.
2013, they said.
December 21st, 2012 is when they're going to say that supposedly we're going to have maybe a pole shift. But there's also the fact that Nibiru might be coming back. And it just seems kind of coincidental that they're talking about this these aliens showing up about the same time that Nibiru maybe showing up. I just wonder what you guys thought about it maybe being the Anunnaki, the watchers of the original creators of us. Do you think it's possible that it could be the Anunnaki coming back to check on their project since they're going to be in the vicinity?
Interesting thought. Thanks for the call, Greg.
Okay, thanks.
I actually kind of going to get into that in the book that's going to be coming out, but from the Phoenix Lights, from what I could gather, there was one group that maybe didn't have such good intentions for us coming, and another group intercepted them, and then we went up to intercept them both.
And so, yeah, I would say that's definitely a possibility, and I would say the only reason that perhaps we haven't already either, A, destroyed ourselves or been destroyed or taken over by another race is because of this one particular group. That's
all right,
my hunch, that's my opinion.
Let's take one more call. It'll have to be very quick, but caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Boston, California.
Yes, Bob.
Hey, I was just going to say, if they're so much more advanced than us, then we can't really have that much to offer that they can't already do themselves. So maybe if they're in their neighborhood, they're here to help.
Okay, what do you think about that, guys? Thanks for the call, Bob.
I agree.
Native American?
Yeah, I agree too.
Okay, yeah, Terrell, you go. Too. Your turn, Terrell.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree 100%. But I don't particularly think that they all have good intentions. But I think they're here observing, and you know, there's nothing that we can offer them. I think maybe they're here for some type of natural resource. You know, the Babylonians and the Sumerians say that they were here for gold. You know, who knows? But there's nothing that we can offer them. Absolutely
well,
not.
I'm hoping that their spaceships run on carbon dioxide, and we have now become a major source of it, and they're here to suck it up out of the atmosphere. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be great.
I'm more afraid of our government and our corporations than I am of any extraterrestrial threat. And that's the honest to God truth. I'm more afraid of our government trying to, pull the ICATA card and say that the new terrorists of the world are not the terrorists in Al-Qaeda. It's the aliens. I am more afraid of them perpetrating something like that than I am of an extraterrestrial threat. And that's the honest to God truth.
That's going to happen.
You know, there's an old saying in South Boston, you know, you fear what you know. You fear what you don't know, and you respect what you know. And what I know is what our government is capable of, and I'm more afraid of that than I am of any ET threat that might be out there. And that's the truth.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm not afraid of any of it. Honest to God, I'm not. And the reason is, I can't change it. There's nothing I can do about it. I got my surfboard. And whichever tidal wave comes, I'm going to ride the tidal wave. I'm not going to get wiped out by any tidal wave that comes in, I can tell you.
Well, I'll be right there with you, Kevin. I'll tell you what. Terrell will be there too, man.
Gentlemen, I appreciate you guys for being with us this evening. We got about 4 minutes left, and I want to give 2 minutes to each of you. Well, it's less than that now, but Terrell, what does all this mean? What do people need to take away from this in a couple of minutes?
Just very quickly, I think the most important point is to just realize that something is going on. And don't rely on the government to tell you what's going on. The truth and the answers that we all seek are right in front of us. It's in the books that are out there. You know, look in the Bible. You know, look at the Bible from a different perspective for once. Look at the history books. Don't look at it as myth. Look at it as history, as fact. The answers are all around us. The signs are around us. My main thing is to stay informed, learn about the subject, and don't be afraid of it. Whatever happens is going to happen. Like you said, get your surfboard ready.
That's right. All right, Bill, you've got about 30 seconds.
Well, I would say if you have seen something, you should report it. Because the only way that this is ever going to break is if more and more people get involved and support your fellow witnesses. I'm a witness. Terrell's a witness. All of these things are happening today because there are people that are brave enough to stand up and say, hey, look, I saw something. I don't know what it is. I can speculate about it. But it counts on everyone taking their rights that they have as Americans and using them. Because if you don't use them, you're going to lose them.
Yeah, that is the truth. Got to use it or lose it. Guys, thanks for being with us this evening. Stay on the line with me for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that those closing messages there are very, very important. We've just had this thing in Stephenville, you know. It's still a hot item. And what makes it even hotter is that the reporter that reported on these things got fired.
You got to stand up and talk. Don't be intimidated. All right, that's it. That's the end. I wish we had more time, but we don't. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. I'll be back tomorrow with Ted Tweetmeyer as my guest. Until then, so long, everybody. Hey, if you enjoyed the podcast, why not join me live every night, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time at KevinSmithShow.com.